Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 43. Got carried away a while ago and forgot to put my offering in. Brother Joe will be coming after me after church to get it if I don't put it in, so I'm going to take care of it. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate it. This is a new Sunday, a new year, a brand new start, and I'm excited. I tell you, we had a lot of people out sick today. I'm not excited about that at all, but we had a lot of people out sick today, but we've got more here today than we've had in a long time on a regular Sunday, and I'm rejoicing today and appreciate you being here, and I hope you'll be faithful throughout the year. I realize things come up and things happen that you're not always able to be here, but what a blessing it is to see the house of God filled, and we'd love to continue to do that as we work together. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of God's new thing. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter number 43, I'm going to read quite a few verses as I begin to talk about all of it, but I want to look at verse number 19 to begin with and share some thoughts that I hope will be a real blessing and a help to you. We find the Lord speaking here, and He's speaking, of course, to the children of Israel and the nation of Israel, but He said, "Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth." He said, "I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth." We'll read the rest of it later, but let's take that, have a word of prayer, and get started. Father, we thank You, Lord, today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together this morning. Lord, we thank You for the great attendance we have. We thank You for the visitors that are here. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for the direction of our church, that You would continue to bless us and lead us and guide us. And I pray, Lord, that we continue to grow, that we might reach out in our community to reach those who are lost in order that they might find hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, today as we think about new things, I pray that we'd begin to think in our own lives about things that You can make new in our lives to help us be what we need to be. But we put our faith and trust in You. Lord, we pray for Your will to be done. We pray for guidance and direction in everything we say and do. And we'll thank You for what You do and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Sad today to see and understand that we read constantly and hear of people committing suicide. I don't even like to address it or talk about it or think about it, but literally suicide is one of the leading causes of deaths here in America. And truly today, many people get so to the point of being discouraged and many things happen in their life, they feel they have no hope. I read of an 18-year-old girl, and she had become very despondent, very depressed, and she said she made a pact with God, and she says, "God, if life is not worth living, I'm going to quit living." And truly, that's exactly what she did. But what she was doing was basing it upon her feelings and her thoughts and what she thought life ought to be. But I want to tell you today, that's a grave mistake, because today the hope and help is not in the world. The hope and help is not even in many of the people of the world. But the hope and help today is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And He's the only one who can help you with your needs. By way of contrast today, I want to encourage you to let you know that life is worth living if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm grateful now for some 40 years that God's allowed me to pastor, and I'm grateful for every moment and every opportunity that I've had to preach the Word of God, and I pray that God has somehow used me in some way or the other. But I found many times that I've become discouraged, and many times I've maybe gone through some valleys and had some trials along the way, but I found that God was always sufficient to meet my need and to give me exactly what I needed in order that He might encourage me and help me along the way. And so today I want to take this passage of Scripture. "Behold, I will do a new thing, it shall bring forth." What a text for a new year. What it offers us is great, because literally God gives us an opportunity to begin anew. I remember what the Apostle Paul said. He said, literally, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And truly today, I don't know what 18 held for you. It may have been a bad year for you. You may have experienced some difficult things to cope with and things that happened in your life. But I'm here to remind you today, God's given us a brand new slate, a brand new start. Some may say, "You know, last year I didn't go to church like I ought to. I wasn't as faithful as I needed to be. Didn't read my Bible. Didn't pray as I should. But this year I'm starting over, and I'm going to determine today." And listen, I'm not all all about resolutions as I am about dedication to doing what God would have us to do. Resolutions many times are made to be broken. But friend, when you dedicate your life to God, to serve Him, to love Him, and to be obedient to Him, they're not made to be broken. They're made to serve and to love Him with all that you do. I want to show you, first of all, this morning, to remember the promise of God's new thing. To remember the promise of God's new thing. He said in verse number 18 and 19, and that's the verse I read, verse 19. But he said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and ye shall know it. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, what he's doing is giving to the nation of Israel a divine seed of hope in these words. God is telling them that it's all about a new thing. It's all about starting over again. Isn't it good today to know that even though we may disobey God and we may sin against God and we may do things that we should not do in the past year, isn't it good to know today that he said if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to give us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, I'm here today to give you some good news. If you're lost and without Christ today, you can come forward at the invitation. You can come forward right now if you like, and we'll get somebody to show you from the Bible how to be saved by the grace of God, get your sins forgiven, be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and be saved and born again by the Spirit of God. The other night, my wife had the privilege of leading a young man to the Lord at YDC. He went through all the steps, and when he got through, he asked her, he said, now, does that mean I'm saved? And she said, well, if you meant business, if you was asking God, it means you're saved. And I don't care who you are, it makes no difference what the darkest sin that you might have committed or the darkest things you might have done. I want you to know today, God is a forgiving God. And then on the other hand, we find that if you're saved by the grace of God, the Bible said, him to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I'm so glad today that we can come before a precious heavenly Father. We can confess our sin, and he will faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Now, first of all, God wants to give us, or God does give them a promise to transcend the things of the past. Notice what he said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Now, that statement might be hard to grasp a hold of, but literally the former things that he's talking about here refers to the mighty works of God. The mighty works of God in liberation, preservation, and the occupation of his people. Literally in verse 3, look if you would at chapter 43, verse 3. Get there in just a second. Just turn the page back. He said, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Literally, he uses the terms. He said, I'm the Lord your God, and I gave Egypt for your ransom. In that one phrase, He said, I gave Egypt for your ransom. We have the whole story. You remember what happened? The children of Israel, I'm not going to take time to go this morning, but truly we could say as they went down, God put Moses there to lead them out of Egypt, and we know all the conflicts that they encountered along the way, but we also know all the blessings they encountered along the way. We know that every time that God was needed, he was always there to provide a way. He was there to roll back the sea. He was there to provide the manna. He was there to give them water when they needed something to drink. And literally what he's talking to them about is understanding all that, but literally he said, I'm going to do a new thing. And I believe the new thing that he's talking about is even going to be greater than what he did for them. We think how he did great things for them, and we say, boy, we wish God would do great things for us. Friend, I want you to know God has probably done greater things for us than he did for them if we stop and consider what he did when he took an old sinner bound for hell and saved him by the grace of God, picked him up out of the miry pit, set his feet upon a rock, and a established his going. He said, I have gave Egypt for your ransom. In other words, God has already taken care of the ransom. He's paid the price. Second of all, God promises to transform the things that are present. Look at verses 14 through 17. He said, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Literally, these verses go beyond the deliverance of Egypt. We know that it's sad, but true. But we know that after the children of Israel got out of Egypt, they still continued to rebel against God. We find in the Word of God where it speaks of their captivity down in Babylon, and that's what he's referring to as we the verses that we just read. He talks about that, and we must understand it. But how sad it is today that how it is that we recognize a nation that literally had been proved by God in his liberation, in his preservation, in his occupation of where they went, that they should find themselves once again back in Babylon. Friend, today how sad it is that people get saved by the grace of God, start serving God, but before long they find themselves back in a place that they ought not to be, taken captive by the world and the things of the world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither things are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And friend, today again, I'm telling you this morning, by the mercy and the grace of God, he's willing to forgive. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He stands today with arms open wide to the filthiest sinner there is and says, come, and ye shall be forgiven. But once we're forgiven, why do we keep going back and back time and time again to the place that we don't need to go? I think about the spontaneity of what he said. Basically, he began to say, I will bring forth a new thing. He said, it shall spring forth. In other words, quickly it will spring forth. I believe today that God is able to do great and mighty things. I believe today God's able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think in Christ Jesus. I've often said every year when we start a new year, I say, boy, we need to be challenged. We need to be more faithful in our witnessing. We need to be more faithful inviting people to church. We need to be more faithful in telling people about Christ in order that we may see the work of God grow. I want to challenge you, friend. Somebody said, preacher, you know, times is just tough. You know, we just can't do it. You know, you just can't reach people the way you used to. And you know you're absolutely right. You can't reach people like you used to. But my God hadn't changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And friend, my God can still bring people to the house of God. He can still get people saved by the grace of God. He can still get people in the right direction if they'll put their trust in him. He said, we see not only it was a life of spontaneity. He said, I'll spring it forth. But he said it was a life of creativity. He said, I will make a way in the wilderness. You feel like sometime you're in the wilderness? Feel like sometimes you're going through the darkest tunnel you've ever gone through? You ever felt like you was in the lowest valley that was ever created? Have you ever felt like the mountain was so high that you couldn't get over it? Can I remind you this morning, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all you got to do is follow if you'll put your trust in him. He said, I'm going to bring forth a new thing. He said, not only that, it's going to spring forth. And he said, you should not know it. But he said, I'll make a way in the wilderness. And then notice he said, a life of productivity. He said, I will give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, friend, I don't know about you, but I tell you, it's tough going through the wilderness if you don't know where you're going. It's wonderful to have God to lead you through the wilderness. But isn't it good also to know that in the wilderness, he'll provide water to drink, and in the desert, he'll provide water for you, for you see, most times in the wilderness, there is no water. And in the desert, truly, there is no water. But friend, God is the water of life, and he's able to give us exactly what we need if we'll put our faith and trust in him. So there's the promise of the new thing. And friend, today I believe God wants to do something in your life this year. I tell you, don't think that you're nobody. Don't think that you don't mean anything. Listen, if you're a part of this church, you need to understand that you're somebody, and by the grace of God, that you need to love him and serve him and be obedient to him. And the thing we want to do is build his church and see people get saved and get baptized. And people come and join our church and be a part of our church and help us in the work that we're trying to do to accomplish getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world that needs to hear about him, the promise of a new thing. But second of all, we see the purpose of God's new thing in verses 19 through 21. And he said, behold, I will spring forth a new thing. It shall spring forth, shall know it, not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. You know, in the prophetic language, there's a devotional truth. When God redeems us, there's a purpose for it. Friend, he didn't save us, and I often say this, it's kind of an old cliche, and you may get tired of hearing it, but God didn't save us to sit. God saved us to serve. And so when God saved us, listen, folks, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I can tell you this. When God left this earth, he went back to heaven. He left the person of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us to do the work that God has left for us to do upon this earth. And those of us who are saved, when we fail to do that work, then we fail to see the blessings and the prospects of God. But God's supreme goal for our life is that we might be his voice, we might be his hands, that we might be his feet to do the job that he's called us to do. Now, again, I want you to understand, and you listen to me a little bit, but I believe this. I believe it's God's purpose to satisfy his own people. Now, I believe there's a greater purpose, and I'll tell you that in a minute. But you can't argue with this, because what he said, I'll give waters in the wilderness, and I'll give drink to my people. Friend, isn't that a physical need? Isn't that a need that we all have from time to time? Sure it is. But God's greatest delight in his people is found in Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Friend, God wants to satisfy us, but he wants to satisfy us with the right things. And I tell you today, you can start out a new year and you can talk about what your goals may be. It may be to get a new car, it may be to get a new house, or it may be to get this or get that. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But our real goal ought to be that we are going to do everything we can to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in order that we might obtain the righteousness of God. I believe today God's tired of his children living unrighteous and unholy lives. What he expects of us is to learn the Word of God and begin to change our life in order that it might reflect Christ to those around about us. We see God wants to do a new thing in our life spiritually. I believe today that God wants us all to grow in the things of God. I believe he wants us to know the Word of God. I believe he wants us to go and tell others what he's done and what he will do if we'll put our faith and trust in him. But you see, today he's going to meet our spiritual needs. But yes, God's even concerned with our mental needs and our emotional needs. And many other needs, maybe our physical needs, yes, God's concerned. That's why we pray, right? Because we know God cares. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So today we know that God will do new things in our life. Isn't it wonderful how God satisfies the longing heart? I believe we see that evidenced in the life of David in Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I didn't say that. That's what God said. He said, delight thyself in the Lord, and they shall give me the desires of the heart. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. God said that if we'll delight in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. Friend, there's a lot of people today just not willing to delight in him. We delight in all the world has to offer. We delight in all the things that transcend everything we do. Literally, the church, I'm sorry to say today, but many people have allowed the church to revolve around their life rather than their life revolving around the church. And as a result of that, we fail to do and see what God would have us to do. So I see today his purpose, I believe, is to satisfy his people. And boy, couldn't we all say today, God's been so good to us. I'll tell you today, I won't get into all of it, but I'll tell you, we've just finished, thank goodness we kind of finished that at the end of the year, and we was able to get the nursery bathroom and get the construction done down here at the whatever end of the building that is, north end of the building, I guess. And I'm grateful, and God's provided every dime. God's provided every way, but I'm not satisfied, are you? I want you to know today, God wants to do more. And I tell you, I'm all about building buildings if we need them, but I'm more about building people, and that is exactly what we need to do. Amen. And God wants to satisfy our needs along the way. God's purpose, is to satisfy His people, but here's the main one. God's purpose is to magnify His own person. Friend, I want you to look with me in verse 21. He said, "This people have I formed for myself, for they shall show forth my praise." This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. From Genesis to Revelation, the truth shines forth increasing brilliance. Peter sums it up perfectly when he says in 1 Peter 2:9, "We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light." Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 5:16. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This is why God says twice in this very chapter, "Ye are my witnesses." Verse 10 and 12, if you go back, you'll see it. Verse 10, He said, "Ye are my witnesses." Down in verse 12 again, He said, "Ye are my witnesses." Friend, I'm telling you what, we're the only God that some people will see. Now, don't misunderstand, I'm not saying we're God. But if we're saved, we ought to be reflecting God in our life. And I tell you, the world today, you ain't going to get too many of them to come and sit and listen to a message. You might not even get too many of them to listen to you personally witness to them. But I tell you, they can watch your life. And they can see a difference. And I don't know how many times, time and time again, I've seen people come to Christ. And the reason they came to Christ said, "I've watched so-and-so and I've watched his life and I've seen what he's done." You see, the greatest purpose is for God to satisfy his people with the righteousness of God. But the greatest purpose is that we might magnify and glorify Him. Friend, today, please, let's erase our face from the scene. Let Jesus be seen in me. Let Jesus be seen in you. May His name be exalted and lifted up and glorified. And then lastly this morning, the prospect of God's new thing. Look at verse 22. We'll begin reading there. "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of the sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, and thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." If we're to enter into the promise and the purpose of God's new thing in our lives, there's several things we must recognize and understand. There's no prospect of realizing or understanding what God's new thing is without perceiving these two things. And I believe it's important for us to understand, first of all, the failure of man to cope. I know we've already read them, but I think it's worth reading again. Verse 22, "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary for me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with thy incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins." These verses make a sad reading. They are a true reflection of the failure of man to cope or to come to terms with God. You know, most people today, they want to bargain with God. They want to argue with God. They want to try to convince God what is right and what is wrong. But Lord, I think what you mean here, no, get away from that. God knows exactly what he means. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And for us to come to the point to where we cannot come to terms, just like the girl, what a silly statement. And I know she must have been desperate and must have been at the end of a rope. And I feel sorry. I wish somebody could have reached her. And maybe some church or some preacher or some church member could have shared the gospel with her and seen her get saved. But she said, if life's not worth living, I'm going to quit living. And friend, she quit living, but she did it on her own terms because she could not come to terms with God's terms. Friend, the only thing we have to do is just believe, to trust, to have faith in God that he'll do what he said we ought to do. The aspects of this failure by showing how God's ancient people, they failed in their intercessions. They had not called upon the God of Israel. Their dedications, they had mocked him with burnt offerings and sacrifices and ministrations. And by the way, we can mock God. We can have churches every time the door, every time they're supposed to. But you can be mocking God if your hearts are not right and if you're not doing what is necessary. Friend, our job, and I'm not here today, our goal is not to fill this building up so we can say, we filled this building up, we had to build a building. Our goal is to fill this building up and to fill people's heart up and their lives up and to build them up in the things of God in order that they might know the true righteousness of God and reflect it in their life and what they do. All the rest is the motions. Thank God for the opportunity to give. But I tell you what, if you don't give with a cheerful heart, you may as well not give. I thank God for the opportunity to serve in many areas, but we can go through the mockery of it all. So the first thing we got to notice is the ability to cope with the failure of man to cope with God's word. Friend, there's one thing. I tell you, I witnessed to people, and by the way, I'm so thankful, and I mentioned this the other night, and I think it's worth repeating. I think since 2013, we've had 260 professions of faith at YDC, and this year alone, we had 60 professions of faith. And I don't take any of it lightly. I don't know. You said, do you think all of them got saved? I don't know. That's between them and God. But I guarantee you one, they heard the word of God and we shared the gospel with them, and I pray by the grace of God they did. But here's what I tell them all. Do you have problems believing this book? And if one of them says, I have problems believing that book, then if I can't convince him that this book is the word of God, there's no use in me going any further. Because friend, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and we put our faith and trust in him. So we need the failure to cope with the gospel. Then we see the nature of God to care. Look at verse 25 and 26. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. And then he said, would you not put me in remembrance? Let us plead together. Declare thou, and thou mayest be justified. In simple terms, what he's saying is I stand here ready to forgive your sins. Listen, somebody said, I don't want nobody condemning me. And by the way, we as Christians have no right to condemn anybody. God's the one that does the condemning. But friend, what we need to understand today, and again, I'm not making light of sin. I think sin is a very dangerous thing. And I think we better examine ourselves to be sure that we're right with God. But I'm simply saying today that I've got a God in heaven that if your heart is sincere and you desire, God will let you come right now and ask his forgiveness, and he will scatter your sin as far as the east is from the west. Listen, to never remember it against you anymore. And what a blessing that is to know. He says, would you not just put me in remembrance? I tell you, we sing that song sometime, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Boy, I tell you what, God's been good to me, and I don't want to forget him, and I know he's never failed me, and he's never let me down. And I tell you, just the little things that we might go through might be a little inconvenience along the way, but I sure am glad I didn't get what I deserved, because if I'd have got what I deserved, I'd have got hell. But thank God he blotted out my sin, forgave me of all my iniquity. That word, remember me, literally in the Hebrew means to bring back to mind the promises on which we can agree. Friend, I'll tell you what, I agree with all the promises of the Word of God. From the lift of Paul recall the times of crisis in his life. Paul was forsaken by his friend. Listen, in 2 Timothy 4:17, he said, notwithstanding, he's talking about those that departed from him. He said, forsook him, but he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You can see it in Acts 23:11, Acts 20:23, but God's always kept his promise. God will never fail to meet our need if we'll trust him. Would you today let us believe God for a new thing? I tell you honestly, I'm not saying that we haven't seen God's blessings in the past, because we have. But could we expect something big this year? Could we not expect something really new this year? Something that would change our lives and draw us closer to him. And we come to this time next year, we would all be stronger in the Lord. We would have grown in the Lord. We would have learned the Word of God. We would have listened to the Word of God. We'd have been faithful to the Word of God. And God would have done a great work in our life. But friend, it's a new year. What you do is your decision. But I sure hope you'll remember that he's the one that blotteth out our transgressions. He's the one that forgives of our sin. Remember him today. He said, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. I'm ready for it to spring, aren't you? I tell you, let it come. And may I, by the grace of God, be ready when God sends that new thing in our life. I don't know what it's going to be. But I guarantee you, if we are faithful to God, God's going to be faithful to us and fulfill the promise of the Word of God. Our Father, Lord, thank you today for just a short time to share a thought. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. I'm so glad, Lord, we can get our messages from there. There's no other place to get them from. And I'm glad today that you tell us that you love us, you've forgiven us. Lord, you'll give us what we need in our life. I do pray now that you would just have your will and way. I pray that you'd guide and direct us. And Lord, just bless this invitation. I don't know what the needs are today. Lord, I don't like the word rededication, but I sure like the word dedication. And I pray today there'd be a lot of people that might even come to this altar. And I know you don't have to come to the altar to do it, and that's okay. But I wish there'd be some people today that would dedicate themselves to the Lord. There's some maybe here today that's lost and need to be saved.